بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to this week's edition of Revival in Motion here on Radio Islam International. At the time that this program will air, it will be Eid almost dawning upon us, and it's a day that we look at with great anticipation and excitement. But for many alike, this day is filled with moments of how to and where to. Today on the program, we hope to share tips and ideas that can make Eid a celebration and not a dreaded day. Our guest joining us today on the program is life coach, motivational speaker, and author. No stranger to the airwaves of Radio Islam, she also is an applied psychologist under the domains of psychology, SACAP, and mashallah, tabarakallah, inspires so many of us with her beautiful words and publications. Sister Nadia Chifa, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is such a pleasure to be back on Radio Islam and speaking to you.
Alhamdulillah, jazakumullah khair. The pleasure is all ours. And yeah, I think when we look at when this program will actually air, it will be in the weekend before Eid. So our focus today is on how we can navigate a stress-free Eid. And perhaps I want to start by asking you more about balance today. We know that Eid is a day of joy, but for many people, it means a day of being really, really a day where there's so many things to do, check off lists. But I want to go back to the basics of why is it so important that we learn to balance our day of Eid? And how will this actually help us enjoy our Eid more?
And it's such a lovely and important question. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to reach this beautiful day, firstly, inshallah, ameen. And, you know, Eid is such a beautiful and amazing, alhamdulillah, for all those who Allah blessed to experience and to have that experience of Eid and the pure joy of another Eid, inshallah, ameen. So we as females, we tend to get busy with the preparations for Eid, from the clothes to the food. There is barakah in that as well, you know, in the preparation with love for family and friends, but we have to strike such a real balance as to not lose that essence of Eid by focusing so much on preparing that we become burnt out, we become exhausted. You know, we have to be mindful that this precious day that Allah gives to us, we need to be present on that day with our body, with our mind, with our heart and our soul, with energy. So I would say take time out to prepare. Alhamdulillah, to prepare, but do not exert yourself to such an extent that you're tired, you know, you lack energy and enthusiasm to enjoy this beautiful day, being present with your family and friends, and, you know, having that the true essence and meaning of Eid that Allah Ta'ala gifted the females, the mothers, the sisters as well this day.
Absolutely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to take that into mind. I think that's something that most of us just get so busy with all that busyness. We don't take a moment to enjoy the day for ourselves. And before we know it, the day is over and life carries on. And we look back and we think, I wish I took a moment to just enjoy my kids, my grandchildren, my day even, isn't it? Yeah.
Be present in that moment and to find yourself in that moment to say that this is where I am right now. You know, I'm with my grandchildren, I'm with my children. Perhaps Allah Ta'ala may not gift us that opportunity again, so we have to be so grateful and so mindful of those precious moments with our loved ones.
Absolutely. Sister Nadia, as moms, so for those that are moms or caregivers, how do we go about making Eid special for the day? And then coming back to the topic of balance, how do we balance that between overdoing it and then versus making it a day that the kids actually can look forward to?
Correct. And if you have little kids, you know, personally, I have little kids. So it's the small things that kids find joy in, correct? So, you know, they make them love Eid. So get them involved in Eid, because obviously, looking at the external influences in the world we live in today, there's a lot of celebrations that we do not partake in. And our children perhaps excluded in that. So we need to include them because Allah Ta'ala did gift us and them these precious days. So in order to create that love, personally, I would love making decorations with my children just to stick up on the walls. Something like arts and crafts that they do, something as simple as, you know, drawing their favorite or writing their favorite ayah of the Quran. Or perhaps, you know, if they're very little, just drawing whatever colors they love. Just that also, or the handprints, and making it so special for them by allowing them to set the breakfast table, perhaps. Or doing, you know, your Eid Mubarak cards for your grandparents, for extended families, for your mulanas, muallimas at the school, for them to gift that to them, made by them. And, you know, Eid at home is always about highlighting the love and the mercy of Allah. Also, gifting our children opportunity to have their own arts and crafts being stuck up on the walls, showing that the importance that they receive by appreciating whatever small, you know, drawing that they make and getting happy to see that on the walls of their home.
I love that idea where you say, you know, bring in that natural element, let our children's drawings, no matter how it is, the art and craft be there. I think over time in recent years, many of us have become so busy with trying to have it look so perfect. That we lose that natural touch to it, don't we?
Correct, and that goes for like throughout the year also. Don't do this, yeah. Doing this, doing that way, and you know the decor. But that's okay. As long as they see that they are part of this, just include them in the preparations for Eid.
Right, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Let's talk more about that. We touched on that. We know that there are so many trends going out that were out for Ramadan, for Eid, and throughout the year. Why would you say it's so important for us to return to a sense of simplicity, Sister Nadia?
You know, today there are so many trends. Every Ramadan, there's a new trend that comes up. And if these trends are sinking people into debt, so if you're trying to pay for that extravaganza, or if these trends are done with the intention of outdoing or outshowing others, or if these trends are done for the pleasure of one's own ego and nafs, then we need to introspect in that trend right there and then. You know, simplicity and being humble is a sunnah we're losing today. Simplicity in eating, humility in talking, and the barakah of not wasting. Even if you have a lot, just not being wasteful and boastful brings you and your family reward in this world and the hereafter. It is never about the name branded table decor, or the gourmet foods, or the Tiffany chairs. It's about coming together as a family with love, with happiness and laughter, and the intention of pleasing Allah.
The intention of pleasing Allah, yes, that should be forefront in our minds, inshallah. You know, we look what's happening in the last few months. Many of us just don't feel like we should be celebrating Eid when we look at what's happening in Gaza, Sudan, Somalia, the weaker Muslims, especially Gaza, I think. How do we deal with these emotions in a constructive, healthy way? Because it feels like, how can I even celebrate Eid when all of this is happening? Tell how do we deal with that?
Gee, it's so shocking, you know, watching the bloodbath of our brothers, our sisters, our children in Gaza. It makes us cry when we're making dua to such an extent that we're begging Allah Ta'ala, please save them, because we feel helpless, correct? We feel so helpless. And again, we are extremely heartbroken. And there's such this dark helplessness that I think shaitan is planting within the ummah, now into our minds, that we're forgetting that dua is the weapon of a believer. So now when we look at the people of Gaza, now you're watching the news, it is all over social media. When you look at these people and you look and listen to what they are saying through the loss of their children, of their loved ones, again through the loss of their homes, through the bombings and destruction, you know, of their entire life, they are saying, Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakeel, Allah is sufficient for us. So we must remember that those people in Gaza and all over the world, but now why I am saying Gaza is because obviously it's been highlighted, you know, and the massacre there and the genocide had is something that we are all seeing. So it's teaching the people of Gaza, they teach us how to love. So when I say that they teach us resilience, they are making their tents look beautiful. Alhamdulillah, they are cleaning, you know, whatever water that's coming, they are cleaning, they're using rainwater. Again, they're making nikah, they're celebrating through the darkness of a war. The unity they have, they're sharing a piece of bread between 10 people. Alhamdulillah. The love they have for each other and how they love and care for their children. You know, the endless hours of sacrifice and dedication by those medical workers. Again, we're seeing smiles on the faces of children covered in dust and blood. Subhanallah, they teach us life. So we can use this, and I think we need to use this to motivate us to live with full tawakkul and happiness in knowing Allah is with us.
Because it's such an important point, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, ameen. Because really, I think a lot of when you go back to the basics, that's where we've lost touch with it. As you mentioned, it's very deep and a dark heaviness and despair that Shaitan is playing with us through. And many of us don't realize this. But I'm glad that you mentioned that to us today, alhamdulillah. Let's talk a bit, Sister Nadira, about family bonds, family ties. As the world becomes more fast-paced, as people live in different cities, immigrate, why is it so important to value our family bonds now more than ever, Saeed? And how can we strengthen those family bonds?
Gee, you know, with technology, we were supposed to connect to people, but I feel with technology, we become more disconnected than ever. Especially with family and friends and loved ones, it is so important on Eid Day to remember that there's so much of barakah in the family coming together, that family unit coming together. And if obviously your family is living, you know, overseas and you don't have that unit, then let us make an effort to express our love, express our appreciation for that loved one and for their family and be present. You know, today I find it very strange that we do not have time, inverted commas, time in order to connect to loved ones. And everyone says, I'm so busy. And you see how Shaitan is entrapping us in this web of busyness that we are forgetting that these relationships that, you know, the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned that do not severe family ties, also maintain family ties, because he knew how difficult it would become for us to find the time again to maintain these family ties. And you know, there's so many family members, maybe we know of or maybe we don't, that's going through depression, that's going through despair. That one message of love, of hope, of unity, it makes the day brighter. It brings about that muhabba that we have lost somewhere along this life.
SubhanAllah, you've touched on such important topics today, mashallah. Listeners, remember, you can always play back. The program will be up on podcast, so you can play back, listen to it again, even if it's after Eid, because the points that Sister Nadira is bringing are so relevant, not just to Eid, but to our daily lives and the steps we need to take to really create and make those shifts in our lives. Sister Nadira, you mentioned, you know, different people, some people may be in emotional distress this Eid. And one group in particular we're thinking of are the sisters coming out of Iddah, whether it's the Iddah of being a widow or being divorced. What would your Eid Nasiha be to the sisters who are coming out of Iddah in the last few days of before a month before Eid? It's a difficult time for them, so many different emotions coming up. And of course, around them, everyone meaning well, but sometimes we may display insensitivity in the approach or the questions we ask. What nasiha would you give to those sisters coming out of an Iddah before Eid?
Gee, and you know, at this time, especially during Eid, loneliness engulfs these sisters. So again, to the widow or the divorced sister who is experiencing her first Eid alone or Ramadan alone, I know the pain stabs at your heart. As you perhaps remember the last Ramadan and Eid that passed, use this time to get closer to the one that creates unions even before we were created. You know, seek the strength and strengthen your relationship with your creator. So take the time to sit by yourself and to talk when the loneliness, you know, starts to engulf you. Remember to sit and talk to your Allah. You know, when you feel so lonely, think of this as a gift from Allah. Allah is trying to draw you closer to Him. So to find your comfort in your Creator, try to find that laughter, that happiness in your Creator, because that's why your Creator has chosen you to be alone, because your Creator wants you with Him again. SubhanAllah, have, you know, a blessed and a beautiful Eid, and may Allah bless you with happiness, peace and barakah always. Ameen.
Ameen, Ya Rabb, Ameen. Jazakumullah khair today for your time with us, Nika Nadira, for taking us through these very important points. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your loved ones on the day of Eid. And we look forward to speaking to you in the near future on relevant topics again, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair.
May you have a blessed and beautiful Eid, and may Allah ta'ala bless you and your family abundantly.
Ameen, Ya Rabb, Ameen. Jazakumullah khair and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam.
Today on the program, we were speaking to Sister Nadira Chipa. Sister Nadira is the author of Ink of Inspiration series. She's also an applied psychologist, domains of psychology under SACAP, authority life coach, and a motivational inspirational speaker. You can find out more through her social media on Instagram. The handle is Nadira, N-A-A-D-I-R-A. Chipa, C-H-H-I-P-A. And you can inshallah find out more about her books, her counseling, and her workshops. It's time for us to go for an ad break, and when we return on the other side of this ad break, more in store for you. Stay with us. Alhamdulillah, this is the second segment of our program here on Radio Islam International. A very warm welcome to the program. Great to have you joining us today. Before the break, we spoke to Sister Nadira Chipa. Sister Nadira is an inspirational speaker and an author, and spoke to us more about having a stress-free Eid. What are some of the things that you and I can do to ensure that it is a stress-free Eid for us and our loved ones, and how to create and work on that balance? As she said, it's so important for us to have that balance in our daily lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to be of those who strike that balance for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, with that, we continue forward. And inshallah, on today's program, our focus now shifts to the significance of masajid in Islam. With Ramadan close to coming to an end and many people having reignited their love and their connection to the masjid, it's a wonderful time to remind us and motivate us for the days beyond Ramadan in the coming days, where we should continue to make the mosque a central focal part of our lives. So the masjid, as we say in Arabic, a place where we prostrate or bow down to Allah, is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where only Allah is worshipped and glorified through the five daily salah, through additional salah, through reciting Quran and dhikr, and many other good deeds. As mentioned in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you and I in Surah Al-Jinn, Surah 72, Ayah 18, and he revealed that the mosques are for Allah, so do not invoke with Allah anyone. Its sanctity, meaning the sanctity of the masjid, must be protected. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, in Surah Al-Hajj, Surah 22, Ayah 40, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْدٍ لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ وَبِيعُ وَصَلَوَاتُ وَمَسَاجِدُ يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهَ مَنْ يَنْصُرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Had Allah not driven back the people, some by the means of others, there would have been demolished monasteries, churches, synagogues, and mosques in which the name of Allah is mentioned. Allah will certainly help those who stand up. Truly, Allah is powerful, all-powerful, mighty. So sitting in the masajid with the intention of doing ibadah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also a form of worship in Islam. The importance of masajid is such that the first development which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam established when he reached Medina was the masjid. It was primarily a place of worship for Muslims. Additionally, it also served as a place of gathering, a place to learn the deen, and a place of councils where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in discussed important matters related to their daily activities and social life. There are many virtues and merits, many fada'il in relation to the masajid, and I want today to share with you just five of them. May it inspire the Muslims to make the masjid their favorite place. Firstly, the masjid is the most beloved place of Allah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith recorded in Sahih Muslim, the dearest parts on the face of the earth to Allah are its masajid, and the most hated parts to Allah are its markets. The masajid are the most beloved places to Allah, as they are the places of gathering for the believers to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are a lot of good deeds being done in the masjid. As for the markets and why they are the most hated parts to Allah is because they are places where people usually conduct dishonest transactions, where they break promises, and they are usually devoid of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such deviances revoke His mercy. Hence, it is not the places per se, but the immoralities that are attributed to these places. Secondly, hearts attached to masajid. Hearts that are attached to masajid, these are chosen to be under the shade of Allah in the Akhirah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, in a famous long hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are seven whom Allah will shade on the day when there is no shade but His. They are a just ruler, a youth who grew up in the worship of Allah, one whose heart is attached to the masajid, two who love each other, meet each other, and depart from each other for the sake of Allah, a man who is tempted by a beautiful woman of high status, but he rejects her, saying, I fear Allah, and one who spends in charity and hides it, such that his right hand does not know what his left hand has given, and one who remembered Allah in private, and he wept. Muttafaqun alayh. One of the categories of people mentioned in this hadith is a man whose heart is attached to masajid. This person will always yearn to go to masajid to perform salah in jama'ah. That person will make time to worship Allah, to be connected with Allah. The person may also be involved in volunteering and helping out in the masajid to the best of his or her abilities, despite other commitments, to gain Allah's mercy and rida. Thirdly, maintaining the masjid is a testimony of faith. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you see a man committed to the masjid, then bear witness to his faith. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted, says, the masajid are only maintained by those who have faith in Allah and the Last Day, establish salah, and give charity. Surah At-Tawbah, Surah 9, Ayah number 18. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for a woman who had been in service to the masjid. This is the fourth merit. The companion, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, reported, a dark-complexioned woman, and some narrations say, or probably a young man, used to clean the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missed her or him and inquired about the person. The people told him that she or he had passed away, to which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked why they didn't inform him, and it appears as if they had considered the matter insignificant. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, lead me to her or his grave. They led him to that place, and he prayed for her or him. In another narration, the honorable person who cleaned the masjid was identified as a lady, and her name was Ummu Mihjan, radiallahu anha. This hadith shows the virtue of a believer who serves with sincerity in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although to some people she was just someone who cleans the masjid, in truth, she had a very special place in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She may be nobody in the eyes of others, but look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated her rank in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So do not belittle a good deed, no matter how small or trivial it may be. And fifthly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares an abode in paradise for those who go to the masjid. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whether goes to the masjid at dawn or dusk for salah, Allah prepares a hospitable abode for him in paradise every time when he walks to or comes back from it. Muttafaqun alayh. Alhamdulillah, in South Africa and most countries around the world where our listeners are generally based, there are many masajid where we can just drop by and perform our daily salah in peace and safety. Our masajid also have numerous activities and programs for the community to benefit from. And so it is our duty as believers to support these programs and to make the masjid a place that is dear to us and our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant His infinite blessings to those that are constantly at the masjid, to those who are working and volunteering tirelessly in masajid day and night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us in the akhirah among those whose hearts are attached to masajid as a testimony of true faith. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen. Now, Ramadan is part of Ramadan's greatness is the du'a of the fasting person, the du'a at suhoor, at iftar time, the du'a as it is every night at the tahajjud time, the last third of the night. We know that making du'a isn't always easy. Sure, we know what we want to ask for, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in our hearts, but it's not uncommon to find ourselves in a position where we just can't find the words to adequately express our feelings and needs. Who better to learn and take inspiration from than the prophets of Allah, peace be upon them all? I want to remind myself and you all of some prophetic du'as that we can incorporate into our daily lives. The du'a of Musa alayhi salam, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. It's mentioned in ayah 24 of Surah Al-Qasas. In Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. My Lord, indeed I am for whatever good you would send down to me in need. And then the du'a of Yunus alayhi salam in Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah 87. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. There is no God worthy of worship except you. Glory be to you. I have certainly done wrong. And then the dua of Nuh عليه السلام. أني مغلوب فانتصر. I am helpless, so help me. Surah Al-Qamar, Ayah 10. And the dua of Ayyub عليه السلام. أني مسني الضر وأنت أرحم الراحمين. I have been touched with adversity and you are the most merciful of the merciful. Surah Anbiya, Ayah 83. And the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many, but one I will share today. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والعجز والكسل والبخل والجبن وضلع الدين وغلبة الرجال. Oh Allah, I take refuge in you from anxiety and sorrow, weakness and laziness, miserliness and cowardice, the burden of debt, and from being overpowered by men. And this dua is mentioned in the Sunnah of An-Nasa'i. A gentle reminder to us all to make the most of these last fleeting moments of Ramadan. Be in a state of wudu, abstain from sin, clear our hearts from enmity, recite the Quran, make dua, it is the essence of worship, increase in our dhikr, istighfar, and tawbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that He is pleased with. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, grant us the best that you grant to your pious servants. It was a dua that many of the scholars of Islam used to recite. So we ask Allah to grant us what He grants to His special servants. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that He is pleased with always. Ameen. When we look at the ibadah of Ramadan and we look at the opportunity to gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah to forgive our sins, to accept our dua, to purify and heal our hearts, to guide us to the right path, and to bless us all with His countless blessings. Let's take every moment that remains of this month to continue connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to continue seeking forgiveness, to continue rectifying, changing our ways, and purifying our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant shifa to all those who are unwell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant afiyah to the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma arham ummata Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah to have mercy on the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we do not speak to you before the day of Eid, we make dua that it is a blessed, joyful day of Eid, accepted by Allah for you and your loved ones. We hope that today's program helps to alleviate some of the stress that does build up in the preparations for Eid. May Allah place plenty of muhabbah, of love and understanding and compassion in our families and our communities. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to witness many more Ramadans and Eids. Ameen. Taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum. And so we'll meet again next week. Jazakumullah khair for listening in. And as always, we'd love to hear from you, your recommendations and ideas on topics and guests that we could interview in our program. Drop us an email, hana@radioislamlive.com. Until we meet again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.